College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. You got a three-man Junk show this open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number if you'd like to call in throughout today's show. So, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night because I went to the Metallica show at Northwest Stadium.
Correct.
Last night.
And the weather sucked for the majority of the day. I mean,
it rained all day.
Rained all day, and but it did stop, I'm guessing, early evening.
Yeah, I want to say around 7 or 7:30, it stopped raining completely.
Right.
Which was great timing.
So, you were driving over there, and it was still raining.
Oh, it was definitely still raining.
Yeah.
Now, the driving over was a little bit of a fiasco because my daughter was going to the concert, and she had a grad school class, which let out at 5:20 in Arlington.
Okay.
So she has to make it from Arlington, allegedly, back to where I am, and it's just not going to happen.
Okay.
So luckily, my wife is a saint, and she got in the car with Brendan and I, or Brendan and me. I never can get that straight.
Right.
We drove to our old stomping grounds, Lanham. Because that's part of the way there for me to get to Northwest Stadium. And it's also my daughter doesn't have to drive all the way out to where I am. And then we drive back.
Mm-hmm.
So we rendezvous there. She piles into my car. We go to Northwest Stadium. Now, before that, the most important key to the day yesterday for me was Jason Bishop giving me Gabe Harris's contact information. Now, Gabe Harris, for those who don't know, the brother of Josh Harris, who owns the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and the background here is when I worked at Octagon.
Yeah.
Back then, it was called Advantage International, sports marketing / management firm.
Yeah.
In Tysons.
Mm-hmm.
And changed names to Octagon. Gabe Harris worked there. So that's how I knew Gabe Harris, just kept in touch with him over the years. And Gabe Harris, he actually invited me to the Metallica concert.
He's very nice. He's like one of the nicest guys on the planet.
Matt and Mike. Gabe Harris, who's Josh Harris's brother, said, come to the Metallica concert.
Right.
I will take care of you.
Yes.
I said, negatory.
I just can't believe you'd do that.
Well, you know how long it would take me to get from Ashburn to Northwest Stadium?
A long time.
With the weather and the traffic. It would have taken me freaking 2 hours.
So,
but you know me. I'm not going to go to a 7:45 concert.
So toward the end of the show yesterday.
I know you guys would do it.
Jason's just like, hey, here's Gabe Harris's contact information. I'm like, okay, I'll reach out to him. I'll swing by and say hi, you know, like as long as I have time, because I just was not going to have a lot of time.
You were going to rush.
I was going to rush. I wasn't going to see any of the opening acts. I was going to get there basically for Metallica, watch them, go home.
Mm-hmm.
I text Gabe Harris. He's like, here's a better parking pass. Okay. I was like, okay, I'll always take an upgraded parking pass.
Yep.
I believe Black Lot A, like right up against,
right up against the stadium.
1 minute from the stadium entrance. Yeah. Like you walk across like the main ring outside of the stadium and you're right there.
And where was your original pass?
My original pass was, it was like half mile away from the stadium.
It was a while. Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a trek and I was short on time. So that was very nice of him.
Yep.
I was like, sure, thank you very much. Then he says, well, here's three owner's suite tickets.
Wow. And I'm like, that's where I would have been sitting.
And I'm like, oh, I was like, you really don't have to do this, but of course I will take them. Now, my background with Gabe Harris, I have met him exactly one time before this. One time.
Right.
At the Scotland USA rugby game at Audi Field last summer.
Oh, nice. And I met him at the party at the bullpen.
He's a very nice guy.
Very nice.
Like, he barely knows me.
Nah, but he's...
But he's super nice. And
he's a listener. I've known him for 30 years.
Part of the key was he heard me talking on the show about like going to the stadium, eating nachos for dinner.
Yep.
Like he He didn't want that. He wanted me to have a silly upgraded experience.
Right, right.
Exactly. So he upgraded me to suite tickets, owner suite tickets.
Owners.
Okay, so he throws that on.
Flamac, owner suite tickets.
Then 2 minutes later, he says, what sizes are you and your kids like for commander's gear? Mm-hmm. I was like, you're going way above and beyond. Uh-huh. You don't need to do all this, but I'm an XL. My kids are large.
You don't have to do it.
But XL, I'll take it.
Large, medium.
So
hey, he's just hooking you up.
So I get in. We get whisked up to the owner's suite. He hands me a bag of Commander's merchandise. Meanwhile, Pantera's playing their last song, and I timed it perfectly. Do some hanging out, meet a lot of his staff there. Everybody was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
how many people were in the suite?
I would say at the height of it, probably about
25,
20, maybe 25.
Yeah.
Now, Josh wasn't there.
Josh was not there.
Yeah. Did his brother, Gabe, yes, ask you to do your terrible Josh Harris impersonation?
Of course he didn't. Do you think he's going to ask me to do that? He's heard me do it on the show before. He's not going to ask for it in person in his brother's suite.
Does he sound different? I did meet him at the bullpen when, what was that, July 20th, a couple years ago, mm-hmm, when the ownership transfer happened.
Right.
When we had the big party, super nice guy.
Very nice.
Yeah,
couldn't
dude
be nicer. I mean, he's literally treating me and my family like we are the
VIPs.
Like the English royal family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good dude. Did you meet anybody else in the suite that knew who you were?
Some people that work for the staff, but I can't remember all the names.
Gotcha.
I met like a half dozen people. So then Metallica starts right around 10 of 9, and they just come out of the gates swinging hard. They open with Creeping Death and For Whom the Bell Tolls. Now, for the old heads like me, those are just like wheelhouse tentpole songs. And the crowd just went
berserk. What time did they get on stage?
I think it was like 5 of 9.
Okay.
So almost 9 o'clock.
Right.
So they take the stage. And look, here's another perk of knowing Gabe Harris. By the way, he booked the show. He booked Metallica to play at Northwest Stadium. So he had a pretty big hand in it.
Yeah.
So he goes, do you want the set list? And I said, of course I want the set list, because that's going to tell me exactly when I can leave the owner's suite and go down and buy merchandise.
Because
yeah, I'm not going to stand in the line like the Rubes for 45 minutes pre-show.
Having the set list is a pro concert move.
Set list is critical.
You can schedule your bathroom break around songs that you don't like. You can schedule your exit.
Yeah.
Like if you're only there for a certain song and everything.
So it's leave early.
It is a pro move to scout the set list.
Yeah. All right. So let me pull. I have the set list. So the first four songs were Creeping Death, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Leper Messiah, kind of a deep cut off of Master of Puppets, which is good for the old schoolers, the old people in attendance like myself. And then Memory Remains, which is just a smash off either Load or Reload. I can't remember. But then I saw, now this maybe this makes me a bad fan. I saw the two new songs off of the new album.
Right.
I said, this is when we make the merch run.
Uh-huh.
When they play these two songs, and then they have Kirk and Rob Hammett like doodling around on their guitars and their bass. I said, this is the perfect spot.
It's a great scouting.
So
great
as soon as Memory Remains is over and the crowd is chanting, we get up and we bother the people at the end of the row. They had to stand up so we could leave, go down and buy the merch, spent way too much money on this t-shirt and a few others,
uh-huh,
went back up to the suite, watched most of the rest of the concert from the suite because I was like, I'm not leaving the suite to go down into the madness.
Good,
I had good seats too.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in the owner's suite. You think I'm leaving? I was Leo DiCaprio. I told Gabe Harris, I ain't leaving.
Yeah.
Not leaving.
Yeah.
Okay. So then.
Comfortable up there.
So food, comfortable. Drinks. I couldn't be more comfortable. There's a bar in there. There's food everywhere. It's covered in case there's rain, but mm-hmm, got lucky. There's literally no rain.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's about five songs left, six songs left in the set. And then Gabe Harris, who's rolled out the reddest of red carpets for your boy, he comes up to me and my kids and he says, do you guys want snake pit passes?
What is the snake pit?
Snake pit, the way the setup of the stage is, Metallica is they're playing stadiums. Okay, they play big rooms. They're set up at the 50-yard line. In the middle of the stage is a big area they call the snake pit,
right,
where the stage encircles it, and I don't know, maybe it fits a few hundred people, 500 people, maybe 600.
Is it that big?
That can gather around in the middle, and you get this amazing, like, 360-degree view of the band.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, we'll take the snake pit passes for the best access in the entire stadium.
Right. You've never been that close to Metallica,
never, ever. Ever in my life. Yeah. So we follow Gabe Harris and his team down, straight down to the floor, right underneath the stage, and all of a sudden, I walk in, and I'm literally 15 feet away from Lars Ulrich and his drum riser. He's right in front of me. Like, he had just finished playing a tune. He's up off the drum riser, you know, like, saying hi to the fans. I mean, it's as far as I'm away from, like, Mike Marr.
It's kind of surreal.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
You know, because, like, I've seen this band live for almost 40 years, dating back to high school. Never been that up close and personal.
Except when we interviewed two of the guys.
We did get to interview Rob Trujillo and Kirk Hammett like 20-some years ago. Yeah. We were at HFS. Super nice guys. Yeah, I mean...
Did Lars have his hat on backwards?
He did have his hat on backwards. Oh, yeah. And skinnier than I thought. Like, he's
thin.
So we get led into the snake pit. And we got led in the snake pit for banger after banger. The last five songs of the set. We walk in. They start playing Sad But True. Okay, so that's, I mean, everybody right. knows this ditty.
The song, didn't know the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Sad But True is song number one. Amazing. That goes straight into little ditty you may have heard called One, mm-hmm. where fire is shooting off, flash pots, you know, like fireworks everywhere. You feel like you're like literally like in a war zone.
Right.
But like,
Did they have the big video towers around the stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like eight the of them? Stage, yeah.
Yeah.
So one, they finish, that finishes. They launch in an old schooler, Seek and Destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And they drop the big, giant, yellow and black beach balls down onto the entire crowd. Crowd's knocking them around. There's probably 20 of them.
Are you headbanging the whole time?
Not that much.
I'm just
trying to soak in the scene because...
How are your kids reacting? Because your kids weren't huge Metallica fans, yeah, right?
They've kind of been brainwashed by me over the years, hearing the music, and they were having a great time. And that was that's the coolest part about it is, like, it's not that cool to share music with your kids and parents. Like, as a kid, you're usually like, I don't want to listen to what my parents are listening to. It's lame.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't want to listen to the music my parents wanted to listen to when I was a kid. So to be able to share that with your kids, and like, in a moment like that, was awesome. So they did Seek and Destroy right into Master of Puppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the greatest song in their catalog. So that's second.
When
to
did
last.
They did they do the Unforgiven? Was that
Unforgiven was not on the set list.
Oh,
this
they
time.
Didn't play that.
Not this time. No,
that's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
and then they end with Sandman.
Did they say goodnight? Was that their encore? Or did they just play?
No encore. They just played straight through.
They just played it.
Did Sandman, and then what I thought was a cool move, after they were done, after the lights come up, like, they just walked around the stage for 8 or 10 minutes, thanked the crowd, threw a billion guitar picks out into the people.
Did
who
you
were,
catch one?
My kid, yeah, we all got like 5 or 6 total.
Very cool.
So it was just a great night. I mean, Metallica, there's a reason that they can still put 60,000 plus into a stadium. Like, those guys are all in their 60s at this point.
Right,
like,
right.
They still deliver the goods.
How long is this tour? Because they were down in Blacksburg, but they played Philly.
They're touring.
I think they went out to Ohio, and then they came back here.
So now they're heading down the Eastern Seaboard. Charlotte is the next stop. Then I think, like, Tampa. And so then they make their way west. I think they end with a Santa Clara show because they're San Francisco based from back in the day. Right. So end of June, I believe. Then they go on a little vacay, and then they're doing an Australian tour, I think early November before Thanksgiving.
Gotcha.
But just an awesome night.
So
thank
it was
you,
worth-
Gabe, thank you. I appreciate the treatment. We had a great time. I mean, the crowd loved it.
Matt, that's what I would have experienced if I had gone. I would have been owner suite, and I would have been in the snake pit.
Didn't you learn from your...
But I would have got home at freaking... 2 in the morning.
God forbid. Didn't you learn from your experience missing one of the world's best meals from one of the world's best chefs that you shouldn't skip out on these experiences.
You know what? I really didn't think about it that much after I missed it. When people talk about it, that's when I think about it.
But you get full FOMO.
Yeah. Because I was fine going back to the lodge at Pebble Beach and having, you know, $100 bottles of wine and eating hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, you had like pizza with your boys and Thomas Keller, world-renowned chef, wanted to cook you a private meal.
Correct. Yeah, I bypassed that too.
All-time life, biggest botch.
Man, that's like Mozart saying, hey, let me play this ditty for you. You go, nah, I'm good.
Like James Hetfield showing up on his back porch. You want me to do Nothing Else Matters acoustic for you? You'd be like, nah.
I'd say no. The Unforgiven, and I'm okay with
it. I think I need to get my beauty sleep.
Eric Clapton was to play the guitar for you, but you'd rather listen to your iPod.
Yep, that's
you
the
guys,
way it works.
All of you would have went. JP would have gone.
Probably would have gone.
Of course I would have gone.
I know Mike Moore would have gone.
I'd have gone so fast, everyone's head would be spinning.
Yeah, of course. But great night. Hope if you want to weigh in, if you were there last night, 800-636-1067.
So I'm guessing
there
was
a lot of people.
70,000? Something like that?
I mean, I could text Gabe and ask the official number, and I'm sure he would give it to me. But I would say minimum 60,000. Yeah. Because when Metallica first started, it was still filling in, and that was almost 9 o'clock. But like, a quarter of the way through their set, I looked out into the stadium, and obviously the floor is full, snake pit full, lower bowl packed, middle bowl pretty packed, and some people scattered in the upper deck. So I would guess like 60 plus easy, and that might be light.
Did they finish Enter Sandman right around 11?
A little bit before 11 o'clock.
So call it 10:45.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get from the snake pit to your car?
It wasn't that bad because they actually had to hold us in. Like, we were penned in because once Metallica was done playing, they had to get the band off the stage before they let everybody that was inside that little area out.
Right.
So, like, a lot of the stadium had already emptied out by the time we got out. So, it wasn't that bad. Like, 15 minutes.
And then it took you.
Because, of course, I had to pee.
And it took you roughly an hour to get home?
Hour to get home.
Right.
In the driveway at 12:20, in bed at about 12:30.
So basically no traffic, because it probably, with no traffic, takes you 50 minutes?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
The traffic to get from the stadium to 495, there was traffic. Don't think there wasn't.
Oh, I'm sure.
There definitely was.
Especially with the weather.
Yeah. So amazing night. Cool to share with
my
kids.
I wonder what Metallica gets paid per stadium show.
It's an absurd number.
Yeah, it's just, I would love to know.
Well, just think about
the money. I wonder, Gabe would probably tell me.
Just think about
the
money they made off the black t-shirts they sold just for one night.
Yeah.
It's an absurd amount of money. They got to chop it up a bunch of ways with their crew too, but they're doing all right.
According to this, Metallica makes an average of $6 million to $9 million per concert based on a combination of ticket prices, merchandise sales, and sponsorships.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good game.
Well, I mean, just think about the last 22 days.
Yeah.
They've probably done 4 shows maybe. Mm-hmm. So they made about 40 to 50 million.
Yeah.
Now 20. They pay out a ton of people. To put on a show, they probably have 50 employees.
Of course.
Easily. Maybe more. All right.
That's crazy.
If you want to weigh in, if you were at the Metallica show last night, give us your experiences. 800-636-1067. That's the number on an open line Thursday here on The Junks.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit a couple of these calls real quick about people that went to Metallica last night at Northwest Stadium. Let's go to Steve in Warrenton first. Steve, you're on with the Junks. What's up?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
What's up, man?
Good. So, I went last night, and I want to say thank you to you guys because I won tickets from you.
Oh, good.
And awesome. I brought my 7-year-old daughter to the show for her first concert.
You're kidding me.
Metallica's her first concert.
That's great.
Very first concert. Yeah, she loves the song Master Puppets. She just loves saying the master part over and over again.
Excellent.
So we left right after that song to kind of beat the traffic getting out. And I had just gone up to Philadelphia over the last weekend to see them for two nights. So I wasn't too upset about leaving a little bit early because I just saw them. And I was down on the floor in Philadelphia. I got guitar picks from them. I got one from Suicidal Tendencies, actual set list off the stage from Pantera. I got a photo with Lars as he's walking through the crowd. But yeah, so last night went topped both those nights.
Oh, you were all in on Metallica. Yeah. How many shows do you go to a year, just generally, rock shows?
I try to go to any, if they're within a 4 to 5 hour drive, I'll try to go. So I went to Philadelphia, then I went last year up in New York City.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe you brought your 7-year-old. That's crazy.
Glad she had a great time.
But she did maybe warm her up with the Kids Bop show. That's what I've done.
You went hard early. No. Love it.
No, wait, that's it. No, we got there halfway through Pantera's set, and she was rocking out for that. She didn't know any of the songs, but she knew a handful of the Metallica songs, and she was loving it.
Could she believe how many people were there?
She's gone to events before. We've gone to Nats games, and she's okay with crowds and Disney and all that stuff. But she was looking at this is her first time at Commander Stadium or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, there couldn't have been many 7-year-olds. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Very cool.
Thanks, Steve.
The
appreciate
song
it.
"Seek and Destroy" has some very dicey lyrics.
Not really. It's not. I mean, it's talking about killing people, basically. But yeah, it's not.
What's
really
the song about?
Which is the Metallica song that talks about like raping and?
Oh no, it's not. They didn't perform that song last night.
That's not.
Yeah, that's not Seek their song either. That's a cover. That's a cover they do of another band's song.
Gotcha.
But I know the song you're talking about. You're getting it mixed up with a different one.
Okay, I've only heard Metallica do that.
Yeah,
one. Back in the day when you used to bring over your tapes to my house and play Metallica.
Yeah. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Apparently, he was at the show too. What's up, Mo?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Got off work yesterday, randomly just sitting off on my couch in the evening, and a good buddy Christian, who's actually a good friend of Out East, hit me and asked me how close I live to the stadium. I told him I'm like 2 minutes. He said, hey, you want to go to Metallica concert? I said, why not? No chance I'm going to actually buy tickets or this would be an experience that I would, you know, do on my own. So absolutely, I'm in it. So we go, we get there. We step into our seats probably like 3 minutes before the band starts playing.
Okay.
And then the production is just extraordinary. I've never even been to a metal concert before. So this is all brand new to me. The production was ridiculous. The sound was amazing. The performance was solid, bro. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I recognized a couple songs that, you know, I've heard over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously your song at the end. But, I mean, great experience, man. You know, good vibes. I actually saw several little kids walking around down there in the little mosh pit area.
Wow.
Which was, you know, a bit surprising, to be honest. We had good seats, too.
All right, here's my question, Mo.
Yes, sir.
Were there more little kids? You said several. Or more people that look like you?
Definitely more people that look like me.
Okay.
Trust me, we were there. I would say that. I was surprised to see that, to be honest with you. But yeah, we were there. It was a very
Noah's a black
crowd.
Listener for people
it was
that don't know.
It was a diverse crowd. It was kids.
Yes, it was a very diverse crowd. Yeah. I was thinking that while I was standing in the Uber line afterwards. Oh, and check this. So it took us. It cost us $12 to get there in the Uber, $60 to get home in the Uber. 3-mile ride.
Yeah, that's
had a
brutal.
Great time. Thank you to my guy Christian for Par City Golf and Alexander. You're a great guy. So check his spot out.
Very thanks, good. Bro. All right, thanks, Mo.
It's Mo Mounts.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Mo got to experience, got the Metallica experience. So good for him. Yeah, definitely a fun time last night out at Northwest Stadium. Speaking of stadiums and football, we wanted to play some audio from one of Valdez's favorite quarterbacks of all time. That's Joe Flacco, who is now in the Cleveland Browns quarterback room. He bristled yesterday when he was asked about mentoring some of the other young quarterbacks that are in that room with him.
It's a talking point. You can kind of like use it like because it's a good question to bait somebody into answering. And either and no matter how they answer it, it kind of makes the guy that's answering it look bad. If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing football. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys can write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already. There's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences. And I have a lot of experience and I can talk on things. And hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me and you know, hey, like, hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room. And you naturally want to do that, you know, but that's, yeah, that was a long-winded answer, but that's ultimately why I think you guys ask it, you know. Here's the thing is, like, because of what I just said, like, you're acting like I wouldn't want to be a mentor. It's not really about that. It's just not the main focus. I see myself as a guy that can play in this league. So if your main focus was just like, hey, bud, I'm going to get you ready, you're just not taking care of business. The best way to be a mentor, honestly, is, like, show people how you go to work, you know, and like I said, hope that they pick up on that stuff, but not necessarily force them to pick up on the things that you do.
Joe Flacco, 40 now.
40 years old.
40 years old. Been in the league since 2008.
I think he was completely fair there.
He
doesn't like the title, but what he's saying is he's offering his experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he's offering the way that he prepares and the way that he plays as something that the younger players can follow.
And look,
they don't have to follow it. They don't have to listen to him. He's doing his job. If he's asked questions by a younger guy, he's not saying he's not going to help him out.
Right. It's not like he doesn't want to talk to the young players.
Yeah.
He talks to them.
But he's, like, also in a competition.
Of course. But
he wants to win the job.
But if I'm one of the young guys in that room, if I'm Pickett or Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, I'm going to look at Joe Flacco. I'm going to look at him as a resource. I'm going to look at him and say, this guy's been in the league for since 2008. There's a reason he's still playing.
And I guarantee
you. Still being employed by teams at the age of 40.
Of course. And I guarantee you, those young guys, Dylan and Sanders, they are asking him questions.
They should be.
They are. I guarantee you they are. Every day.
That's smart of them if that's the case.
But you do hear sometimes young players coming up say that they have problems with these veteran quarterbacks, generally stars. I don't know if you guys watched the Aaron Rodgers special on Netflix. I don't think I watched all of it.
No,
but apparently they had a lot of tension when he was underneath Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
And Favre wasn't necessarily the best mentor.
Right.
It's not their job, really. They're competing. There are different stories about OTAs in Cleveland. And some of the stories say Shador Sanders shined above the rest. They actually keep stats on all this stuff now. It's kind of ridiculous because you're playing 7-on-7. Right. Quarterbacks aren't taking hits. But for what it's worth, Flacco, 9-for-14 with a touchdown. Kenny Pickett, 9-for-16, no touchdowns. Dylan Gabriel, their third-round draft choice, 11-for-16, two touchdowns, did throw an interception. And then Shador Sanders threw the least amount of passes. 9 passes.
Mm-hmm.
Completed 7 of them for 3 touchdowns. Mm. He had the best completion percentage and the most touchdowns.
But so there's a lot we don't know about that.
It'll be interesting to see how this develops.
I mean, are all 4 quarterbacks facing the same defensive players?
Don't know.
We don't know.
Don't know.
Like, what receivers are they throwing? Like, right, yeah, right. There's a lot of factors and permutations to go into that.
Because I'm guessing they're not.
I would think that they keep both Gabriel and Sanders. So I think they're going to trade either Flacco or Pickett. And I wonder what's going to happen with Pittsburgh if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up. Well, now, they wouldn't bring Pickett back, would they?
Pickett's not going back.
No, it's not going back.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be in the market for a 40-year-old Joe Flacco. I mean, it does seem like a logjam of quarterbacks in Cleveland.
It is. Can't keep them all.
They're just trying to find one half-decent option.
Well, they're hoping that one of the kids they drafted turns into the franchise, but
2 seasons ago, Flacco played really well. Last season, it was a little up and down.
Let me say this about his comments, mentoring. So he doesn't like being labeled a mentor, but he is mentoring.
Sure.
He is doing that. He just doesn't like the label because, I mean, when you're giving advice to younger people based on your experience, that's what you're doing. You're mentoring them. He just doesn't like the label.
Yeah, he definitely bristled at the label and talked about it was a baiting type of question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is doing it.
He's been asked that question 100 times before.
Yeah, he's tired of it.
He's just sick of it.
Yeah.
He does have that towny accent, though.
Well, he says bad. He says bad.
Yeah.
But, look, again, he's a product of his environment, JP, much like I was. Joe Flacco was, I believe, raised in New Jersey, went to school at
Delaware.
Pitt and Delaware, and then spent the bulk of his career in Baltimore. Of course he's going to be doomed to talk like that for probably the rest of his life. That's just what it is, what he's surrounded by. Now, I went to speech school.
He loves the beat jackpot.
He does. He's a big fan of that. He certainly is. All right, don't forget, coming up later on the show, we'll talk to Matt Doherty, former hoops coach at UNC and Pacers scout. He's going to join us at 8:25. Next, we'll talk some more NFL. We'll talk about the scene on Stephon Diggs' boat and whether Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Patriots, is a fan.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hard for me to be objective about Stephon Diggs. I've always been a Stephon Diggs mark.
Just because he's an only guy?
He's a local guy, but not... I don't think he's ever really an only guy. I think he was kind of imported into that area from out of town, but it's fine.
I think he actually lived kind of like Gaithersburg, Rockville.
Yeah, it's fine. It's close enough. But he spurned all the bigger schools that he could have gone to and went to Maryland.
Right.
Was a star at Maryland. He's had a really good NFL career. Now, he got injured last year where he blew out his ACL, and now he's landed with the Patriots, for those that aren't keeping up with Stephon Diggs' latest stop. Now, over the weekend, over Memorial Day weekend, I guess he was hanging out on Cardi B's boat. Okay? Now, it was a wild scene on the boat. There's video that circulates of him surrounded by different women where he's handing out what appears to be a mysterious pink substance out of a baggie, I believe. Valdez, you might know more of the intricate details than I do. But there's a lot going on this boat. He's handing out stuff to women. There's twerking all over the place. I mean, it's a wild scene.
It's just a big party.
Yeah, it's a big party. So he missed the voluntary OTAs for the Patriots. And here's his head coach, Mike Vrabel, who got peppered with questions about it. Here's his reaction.
Stephon Diggs has gotten a lot of traction in the last 24 hours or so. He's on a boat having a good time, but the question comes in as to a certain substance that people are guessing what is and isn't. Is this something that the team has to look into?
Well, it's something that we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I and the club.
Have you talked to him since the video?
I talk to our players every single day, the ones that are here and the ones that aren't.
Are you expecting him to practice today, Mike?
Not if he's not here.
So he's not here.
You guys will find out in a minute.
Rick Vrabel.
Vrabel, yeah,
you know,
I love
what? I've already got bad vibes about how Stephon Diggs is going to work out in New England at this point. He hasn't even played it down for them yet.
Well,
I just don't know if that's a great.
I mean, if you're on a yacht with a bunch of people,
mm-hmm.
man, you got to be really aware of how many people are around you with phones.
Oh, everybody had a phone. Everybody's
got phones, especially if you're an NFL, you know, star receiver.
Yeah,
he's not thinking. But he was probably under the influence of something.
Well, also, and this is my take. Part of his problem is he can't date Cardi B. I mean, come on, what are you doing? Stephon Diggs, you could date anybody. You could date Cardi B.
He loves Cardi B.
I mean, that's just another layer of just scrutiny and more eyeballs on you.
Correct.
If you're Stephon Diggs.
I'll tell you what Vrabel's probably more concerned about is that Drake May struggled big time in the last week in the OTAs.
Right.
And the OTAs, the way the dates are set up, they're kind of scattered. So New England had OTAs last week,
mm-hmm.
and then they have some again this week. So Washington had a practice yesterday. They're off today. They practice tomorrow. And then they practice next week. So they're kind of scattered. But in his first performance, Drake May threw four picks. That was last week.
That's brutal.
Now, I think yesterday he was better, but not great. I think he still struggled. I think he's more worried about that than what Diggs is doing on the boat.
Well, did you mention, Maybe I didn't hear you, but did you mention that the video showed him passing the bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a mysterious pink substance. Yeah. Valdez, I think I heard you and Drab talking about
it. They called
about
it pink cocaine.
That was one of the names. What's the other name for it, Valdez?
People online kept calling it Tussie or okay. Toosie.
Yes. All right.
I know.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you one thing
it's
about
the first
it.
First time I've ever heard the word Toosie or Tussie.
Yeah. If anybody has any background or intel, let us know. 800-636-1067. What that substance could be. I just don't.
Pink cocaine.
I don't like the first optics I'm seeing with Diggs and this Patriots relationship. Also, I heard he might not be ready until like week four of the regular season. Is what I read. He's recovering from the ACL tear.
Yeah, yeah.
Red flags everywhere.
Interesting. You said that Drake May was struggling. There was a big article by Ben Solak, who's an analytics betting guy for ESPN yesterday. And he wrote this in kind of a cautionary way because he knew that Commanders fans might jump on him.
Yeah.
But he wrote in this article, here's something I struggle to put into words. Jaden Daniels had a historically productive rookie quarterback season. The Commanders fan base and team brass should feel confident and inspired about the future of the position. However, I'm still as, if not more, impressed by how well Drake May played on that terrible Patriots offense last season. Statistically, he didn't hold a candle, but degree of difficulty? May was playing a completely different sport. I'll put it this way and hope Metropolitan DC doesn't come for my head. Patriots fans should feel as confident and inspired about their future at quarterback as Commanders fans do right
Ooh,
now.
That, well, maybe, does that put some wind in your sails? You've always been a Drake May
look,
guy,
I like
Jason.
Drake May, and I always thought that he just needed more time because he played less college football than JD. Now, he's not the athlete JD is, but he's a good athlete.
He's pretty athletic.
He's a good athlete, yeah. He is. But so he needs more reps, and he certainly needs a better coaching staff than he had last year.
Right.
All right, that coaching staff.
Enter Vrabel. Yeah.
Enter Vrabel, yeah. Who's been a winner. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to help him as much as anything. But when I did read that he struggled, and again, it's OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't put a lot of stock
into much into it.
I was listening to Linnell on last night in overtime, and David Harrison joined him, and David Harrison was out at the camp, and they were talking about Jaden's two interceptions.
Yeah.
Right. It's such a non-issue to me.
I know. And I was just throwing out the Drake May thing because, you know, it was a pun because Vrabel's talking about Diggs and the pink cocaine.
Yeah.
But he's more worried about, let's get Drake May to where we need him to get to.
Yeah.
To win football games.
Well, big thing they did is they've addressed their offensive line, right? And bringing in a weapon like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
But
so
they're going to
blow up in their face.
They're going to be a much better team/organization with Vrabel there.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636.
Kind of like with Dan Quinn's effect here.
1067 is the number. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. Kevin, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
I just really want to know, are you guys surprised that Stephon Diggs did this? He's definitely from the DMV. Are you surprised?
I guess not.
Are you just saying because he's from this area, he's going to do something wild like that?
Of course. That's what we do here. We mess up good things, man. Like Cardi B is one thing that he's just off kilter right now.
Yeah, do you agree with me? Like Cardi B is just I don't know if that's the right choice for him.
No, he should have tried Billie Eilish or somebody, man.
Billie Eilish, right?
Okay, I don't know if that's a pairing we're going to see anytime soon.
Are you a Stephon Diggs?
He's gone. Oh, okay. He's gone. All right, let's go to Brian. He's calling in from Purcellville. Sounds like he has something personal to bring up. Brian, you're on with the Chucks.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. I'd like to hear this,
What's
by the
up,
way.
What's up, Brian?
Open line Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people hanging on. I want to talk. It's Memorial Golf Thursday, so I have a couple of questions for Jason.
Okay.
Jason, if you were at Jack's place right now, what flavor of milkshake would you get?
Jack's
is
place.
This like a trick question or are you
Jack's
honest?
Place meaning Jack's golf course
yes
place.
Correct
yeah. I would get a chocolate milkshake.
All right, who did you pick in the golf pool this week?
Well, I'm in three different golf pools. Which one are you? Do you want all of my picks?
Did Jason forget a pick?
Who did you pick in the Slider Cup?
Oh,
I picked hold on, I got it written down. I picked Finau and Fitzpatrick.
Who did you take in the Farmers Insurance Open earlier this year?
Oh. Might be trouble.
At the Farmers, hold on, hold the phone. At the Farmers, I took Finau and Pendrith. F you!
But what's the big deal?
That's
it's still the tournament hasn't started yet, right?
MC.
No, the tee times were at 7:50. I'm such a effing idiot.
MCJB, see you on the course, buddy.
Oh, that's Brian. That's the guy who runs the pool. God damn it.
Love you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Why is Cakes laughing so much?
I just find it funny.
How did I miss that?
Because I was in the geeky golf pool that he's talking about, and it is something that if you aren't on top of it, you're going to duplicate picking a player, and you're going to be boned with a miscut. And it's basically a fatal type of error. Like, if you're anywhere near the top of the standings, you get a miscut, it's devastating. It hurts.
Yeah, I'm just so pissed. That ruins my weekend. Yeah. How did I miss that?
Hey, you know what we really need now, Cakes? We need Finau to win.
Is that what we, yeah. Big Finau
that
sweat.
That would be the cherry on top.
That would be
well,
amazing.
Now I'm going to bet even more on him.
Yeah, you have to. You got to hedge it.
Because I guarantee he plays well now.
Yeah.
How did I effing miss that?
All right, don't forget, coming up in the next hour at 8:25, we'll be joined by Matt Doherty, former UNC Hoops coach and Indiana Pacers scout. We're going to talk some NBA with him. That's coming up on The Junks here on The Fan.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.